why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
This is FM 90.1 KCFR Chico, listener supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. You are listening to Love in the 21st Century. It airs every Tuesday from 5 to 6. Tonight is hosted by myself, Tamara, and Jonah. Love in the 21st Century is a talk show with live call-ins, which we are going to have tonight. Interviews and discussions on the philosophical to practical look of love, from romantic relationships to connections with humanity. One-third dating insights, one-third self-love guide, one-third compassion training. And tonight we are going to continue on our conversation about love and community. We began this year talking about love and self. We went to love and family, went to love and relationships, and now we're talking about love and community, that broader sense of being in the world. And it is going to be a very intriguing, heartfelt conversation, which we will describe here a bit more after a song from the Grub Cooperative. Would somebody like to intro the song that we're about to hear?
Sure, I feature him. Sure. It was around a campfire, you know, sacred fire. We met back there in the herb wheel, and someone caught it on their cell phone.
Awesome. So here's some musical magic from the Grub Cooperative.
Bella mama, yeah. Bella mama, bella mama, yeah. Bella mama, bella mama, bella mama, bella mama, bella mama, bella mama, yeah. Bella mama, bella mama, yeah. Bella mama, bella mama, yeah.
Love in the 21st Century is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the one of Chico's newest restaurants, Rallo's West, at 234 West 3rd Street in the heart of downtown. Rallo West offers small, large, and large plates, Maryland-style shrimp, blue crab cakes, a wine bar, charcuterie, and artisanal cheeses. Rallo West is open from 5 till 9 till 10 p.m. on Friday and Saturday. For more information, visit them on Facebook or by calling 636-4468. Okay, welcome back to Love in the 21st Century. We are joined by, really, three of the previous members of the Grub Cooperative, because Jonah, one of our hosts, is one of the previous members as well. So, Jonah, you want to give us our show description?
Yeah. Yes. So the Grub Cooperative, if you don't know, was an intentional community and farm on the edge of Chico. And this week's show, we're calling Lessons Learned at the Grub Cooperative. And we've invited a few fellow members to share stories and answer questions about their experience. And we should have a few more calling in. So for 7 years, the Grub Cooperative was home for over 20 people who desired to experience a different way of life. We shared a home, a kitchen, regular meals, and household duties. We raised our children in an atmosphere of love, resourcefulness, and 40 acres of land. Together, we grew vegetables, raised animals, cooked meals, and met for weekly meetings where we made decisions using a consensus process that we developed over the years through trial and error. As much as we wished it weren't so, we were only temporarily renting our home. By the end of 2015, the management of the property changed hands, and we were asked to leave. The Grub Cooperative is no more, but the lessons learned live on. In the studio today, I have Piper Josephine and Francine Stupinelli?
Stupinagel.
Yeah,
here I am.
Yes, and we should have a few more friends calling in with some of their own stories. So I'm excited about this show. Do you want to say something, Piper?
No, I'm smiling at you.
Okay.
Piper's also excited about the show.
So excited to have you in the studio. So I'd like to start off by sharing a story of my own, and that was when I was first applying to move in. So the Grub Cooperative was only a year old at the time, and I was living in my own little studio and loving it. I had always wanted to try living in community. When I found out about Grub, I was immediately intrigued. Applying to move in, though, was scary. I knew about five people as acquaintances, and the rest I was meeting for the first time. All of my insecurities came up as I hoped they would accept me. I remember wanting it so badly, while at the same time wondering if I could handle having so many people around me all the time. Since it took every member, I think it was 14 people at the time, to agree to invite me in as a new member, it took some time. I visited every week so we could get to know each other. I have vivid memories of riding my bike onto the property and being overwhelmed by how beautiful it was. Imagining myself living there, my eyes would tear up. Thankfully, I was accepted, and I stayed until the end. My first lesson was, if I wanted something bad enough, to stick with it and not let my negative self-talk of not being good enough stop me. So I'd love to start by hearing some stories from some of you about why you chose to live in an intentional community and what was your experience in that application process. Or the creation process, if Franny would like to start.
I have my little son Milo on my lap, so I might have to run away really fast. But he was conceived at the Grub Cooperative, but he wasn't born there, I think.
Yeah.
In 2007, you know, this guy said to me one time, a long time ago, he talked about a community, and I was like, what the heck's a community? Like, I didn't know, and then he, like, described it, and I was like, well, we can maybe do something like that. That'd be kind of cool. And then, long story short, like, me and my husband and Lee and Max and some people started farming different places, and then this property came up, which is on Dayton Road, and it was 40 acres, and in my history of Chico, it was always this mystical property. It was the Palms, it was the Serenity Center, and it really had, like, I mean, it really has a really strong energy. Like, even when the Grub Cooperative is not there anymore, it still has a strong energy. There's something about that property. And it came up, and we're like, oh yeah, let's move there. That'll be awesome. Let's get a bunch of people together. We rallied all these people together. And it just went really smooth. Like, everybody's, yeah, let's do this. And then there was a friend that was like, don't do it until you have more research on communities. And I'm like, I'm just going to do it. We're going to do it anyway. And we jumped in, like, head first, and it was great. But we didn't get the property. At first, we weren't going to get the property. And then the cool thing about it, they were telling us that it was going to be a school. And then it wasn't a school. Like, I knew that the zoning wasn't for the schools. And then she called Lee, and she thought it was a different Lee. And she was like, I actually do have the property available. So we all moved in, and it was great. Anyway, that was kind of like a little hiccup of moving in there. And that was, I don't know what else. I lost my train of thought. But that's a little story.
I think what you're saying is that it was actually almost an accident.
Kind of.
That it started.
Like, we kind of stumbled into it. It was this idea. Yeah, it was this idea that it wasn't really meant to happen. And then the lady had called my husband thinking he was someone else to offer the place to him. And he was like, of course. Like, we want it. And everybody was like, no, you guys aren't going to be able to go there. And we're like, yeah, we are. And we would, like, hang out there, and there was abandoned. I mean, it wasn't abandoned, but no one was living there. So we'd, like, have meetings there and stuff. Like, just walk in and be like, we're going to have a meeting in this house. Like, no one lives here, but no one will know. We're going to get this place. And we, like, want, we've really, really wanted it. And then it totally, like, manifested or something. And I lived there for 4 years. We moved out halfway in 4 years ago.
13, yeah.
Right when Piper was moving in. I remember one of those meetings.
Yeah, we exchanged as I was coming to look at the place. I had just moved back to Chico. Never thought that I was going to really, like, settle any roots into the earth here. And it was available right when I was in desperate need of housing. I didn't have any preconceptions of the community, and I'd lived with a lot of people in small places before, living in San Francisco, affordably, economically, creatively. And I was so thrilled by 40 acres. It's the country. And
it's like so close to town.
And I tell people, and they're like, that's far. And it's like, well, relatively not for the quality of land living that we got to experience.
Totally.
I moved out of the house after just a handful of months living inside and experimented outside. And part of my attraction to moving in and also being persistent through the application process was the strong idealism of the community and the support that I immediately received upon them hearing my ideas to build and make projects and, you know, process food and all the things that were already happening. Just adding flavor, and yeah.
Yay, and so we have Katrina calling in.
Katrina, are you there on the line?
I'm here, hi.
Awesome. You want to share with us your story?
Hi, thank you for having us and organizing us all, first of all, and also a shout out to some of the folks who would love to be here on this conversation and are at work and most likely won't be able to break away. So I just want to bring in Ron and Susie. Mm. And, so a little bit about my experience applying to move into the Grub Cooperative and why I wanted to. I had been living in Ecuador for over a year, immersed in conservation ecology and exploring local development and social change, so alternative development. And when I came back to the States, man, it was crazy. It was just crazy to the culture shock and speaking English again and being a recent graduate and not finding work up in Washington State in the field that I had just been in. And so, yeah, one thing led to another, and I was invited by Ron Toby to come down and check out the Grub Cooperative and check it out and see what it was like. It'd be right up my alley. I knew him from Washington. We worked together at a food co-op up there, and I had been involved in many farms up there, so he was familiar. And so I was like, okay, I don't have anything to lose, so I got into my truck, came down to Chico, landed at the Grub Cooperative, and that was in March of 2010. And, I just stayed there for 2 weeks and just got involved in the day-to-day and on the farm, working with Max on the farm, as well as working with Stephanie Elliott with the Community Garden Program. And so that was just landing and getting a feel, and I spent as much time as I could getting to know everybody and what they were up to and to try to understand the organizational structure of the cooperative as well as these other businesses and projects and what is the governance structure and how do things work. That's just how my mind wants to understand things. And at the end of the 2 weeks, I decided that it felt really good, and I had a clear yes that I wanted to live there, and so I filled out an application, and before I left, there was an invitation to come and stay for a month before there would actually be a community meeting, a review, where everyone could get their voices into the circle and say how they felt and whether or not they would like to invite me into the community.
Yes, so, and again, to stress, the application process often took a very long time.
Yeah.
Can I just add to that? I just wanted to add to that. It was just like, you know, from being there in the early days, like, it was so fun to come up with these systems to make it work, you know, like these systems of like proposals and like if you want to do something cool, you had a proposal, and you know, on the land, if you want to like have chickens, you have to, you know, write a whole proposal system. And And then everyone in the meeting would discuss that and system application, you know, because we only had so many spaces and we really wanted to get to know these people before they moved in. And it was so fun and so interesting and mm-hmm. crazy and weird to have these long 3-hour meetings where we're like, oh, should this person move in?
Do we want to live with this person?
Yeah, it was kind of harsh. But then you kind of know that that person's going to be cooking an egg with you at 6:30 in the morning. And, you know, you're in intimate space with that person. It's not like they're just a roommate. You're in meetings with them, so how's that flow going to go? And all the consent, the policy of it was very interesting. I definitely don't have it anymore in my life, but I sort of miss it. I do love the drama of it.
Yeah, I miss it too. It's so juicy. Life is juicy and it's messy. And just to be on the other side of, for me, when I returned back to the Grub Cooperative and I was there, a month had passed, and that night, everybody was around the fire or something, having a meeting, and everyone's voice went in, and it felt kind of like a ceremony, like a very conscious exploration of, like, listening to mm-hmm. our bodies and our hearts and our minds, and to then be invited and welcomed was, in that kind of ceremonial way, was, whoa. I mean, it was beautiful, and you don't know what the answer is going to be. And, you guys are family to me. And that's not going to go away, whether or not we're still in the house or on that specific piece of property. We're still here on the land and in relationship to one another. So I'm so grateful you guys said yes.
Yes, definitely. And it feels so funny. So it feels so good just to have us together again doing this show right now. It feels like family.
Are all the people in the greater community that were connected through Grub, you know, even when I moved in, Katrina didn't live there anymore, but I still saw her around the house all the time, and it was awesome.
So we also have Kevin, I believe, still on the phone.
Kevin, are you there?
Kevin, can you hear me?
Let's see.
You still there?
Yeah, Tim here.
Tim.
Oh, Tim.
Sorry.
Oh,
my confusion. I thought you said Kevin.
Oh, that was my cue. It was Kevin.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's your alter personality.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Hey. Hi, Tim.
I hear your voice.
Greetings from Sonoma County.
Your boys look just like you.
It's good to hear you all again.
You too.
Okay, so I'll try and make it brief. For me, it started in 2008. When Stephanie and I heard that there was a small farm in Chico that was selling vegetable shares, and we went to a meeting at the Peace and Justice Center to find out more. And when we got there, I think it was Sherry and Max and Franny and Lee and Chris, I think, and they kind of gave a little overview of this little farm that they'd started. And Stephanie and I tried to get farm shares there, but we were told they were at capacity. So instead, I think it was Lee approached me and suggested that I come out and just volunteer at the farm. And so over the next few months, Stephanie and I, pretty much evenings and weekends, we'd come out to this beautiful spot at Riparia, and we made many friends there and just had a wonderful time kind of getting to know this little farm, this little project that was called Grub. Made some amazing friends during that time. And a little while later, Stephanie and I got a phone call. I think it was Lee. And he said that there was this 40-acre piece of property available and asked if we were interested in moving in there with 15 other people. And at the time, Stephanie and I were renting a small two-bedroom house in the Avenues. And that just sounded so crazy that I said, I'm honored that you would invite us to this, but that sounds too crazy, so no thanks. But after thinking it over, it did sound like a pretty cool adventure. So, over the next couple of days, I think Stephanie and I molded over, and the idea kind of grew on us, and we ended up deciding that we would actually like to try this crazy thing out, and that's how we kind of moved on to Grub.
And then you and Steph ended up being one of the few people that were there from the very beginning until almost the very end.
Yeah. Yeah, we were there for pretty much from 2008 till 2015. So, yeah, the whole time.
Awesome. Okay, so what I'd like to do now is move on and talk about what was it like living with so many people. And I just want to start by saying that for me, that was actually one of the things that I loved. Like I said before I lived there, I had my own little studio, and I was living alone for the first time in my life, and I was really enjoying it. So I was terrified to imagine myself surrounded by all of these people all of the time, and I'm definitely an introvert. But once I was there, that was my favorite thing, was just like having that almost constant sense of family. I could, anytime I wanted, I could go and I could find a place to be alone on 40 acres. But then anytime when I needed a friend or I needed someone to talk to or I just felt lonely, all I had to do was walk in the kitchen and there would be people to talk to and smiling faces and funny stories and food being shared.
Yeah, can I just add to that? My thing about living with 40 people, I totally agree. Or it's not 40 people, on 40 acres. So how many people? I always exaggerate, say it was 25, but I think that was about 17, more or less, long-term, you know, year-round people.
It kind of went up and down.
It went up and down. But, you know, you just had a friend all the time that you could turn to, and it was like a built-in social system. It was really like a built-in like social group. Like after moving out, I'm like, well, I really have to make effort to like go hang out with friends. It took me a couple of years to like learn how to be like, hey guys, want to go out on Friday night? Like, you know. But then on the other hand, on the other side of it, you're always being witnessed, and that was one thing that was really difficult for me, especially when I had my first son, because you're, you know, it's 6:30 in the morning, your kids, your baby's crying, and you're having a rough day, and there's all these people talking to you, and you're like, I don't want this moment to be shared with anybody right now. Thank you. But, yeah, that's my answer to that.
Yeah, and at the times, the times when we didn't necessarily want to share, little ones screaming at 6 in the morning, playing, you know, it was all beautiful, and it was those lessons learned, you know, to appreciate where you are. And I learned how to communicate with children, or how I just couldn't communicate with children at times, and each other. And then, yeah, you love bringing up the frying an egg at 6:30 in the morning thing, but the kitchen was always one of the places that could get tense, because people, hungry people.
Oh, yeah, breakfast.
And small quarters, you know, which is, you know, economically and rational to feed each other. And just totally. Remind you, Grub is growing resourcefully, uniting bellies.
Yep.
And totally. One of my favorite things was cooking for all these people once a week, washing all the dishes, and then every other night food was fed to me because someone mm-hmm. else was cooking, and we had partners.
And we hadn't mentioned that yet, that part of our process was we took turns cooking for each other 5 nights a week. So each night there would be 2 cooks and 2 cleaners, and then everyone else would just come and have a delicious, fresh, locally cooked meal.
And we all put in $20 a week for the house food fund, which pretty much covered all the basics. Mm-hmm. And so living there was really inexpensive.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of the food came right off the farm on the land.
And the rest was sourced sustainably, locally if possible.
In bulk from Chico Natural,
a
lot of
food stories. I wrote a poem all about cinnamon to get that cinnamon paid for.
Right.
I baked a lot.
Are the callers still on? Katrina.
Yeah, I'm here.
Man, you guys can chime in.
Cooking was a challenge for me. This is Tim here.
Yeah.
Because at the time, I've gotten a little better maybe, but I still had a lot to learn as a cook. And having to cook for 15 people who've been out, you know, doing projects or working the land, and having the meal not turn out very well is really humbling. And that happened to me quite a few times, especially when I was paired up with Max, who I think was at a very similar level of cooking expertise as a cooking partner. And the two of us, I mean, we put some things in front of 15 people that were pretty disappointing, I think. But I think I've learned a lot due to that. So really being put on the spot, I think, was a great lesson for me.
It helped everyone else become well-humored, you know, good-humored responses.
Mm-hmm. And grateful.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about you listeners out there in the world tuning in from wherever you're tuning in from, but walking into a kitchen and preparing food for 15 to 20 people, holy cow, like trying to figure out how to do that is one thing, and then the gift of giving the food and then to receive the food that was grown and raised in a good way by people you know, and probably 75%, maybe even 80% of the food things, stuff that we purchased came within a distance that we could ride our bikes to those locations and farms. Mm-hmm. So just immense gratitude. And I want to, before we transition to another thing, I wanted to go back and just touch on what was it like living with so many people, because I think it still comes back to gratitude and humility. Mm-hmm. being surrounded by mirrors, and it's very, yeah, how beautiful to be seen and heard and witnessed, and also to be experienced in your process. We were all up front and center with one another in terms of how we were in relationship with ourselves. So learning a lot about boundaries and our moods and having those difficult but tough love conversations around needs or boundaries, not always comfortable and, yeah, I grew so much living at that house, and I also learned a lot about trust. So I just wanted to throw that in there.
The thing about the way that we lived together was we had no leader, or there was no...
He's not in
there. There wasn't a person that you could go to and say, okay, so what do we do here, like at a job with a boss? We were basically just a group of people sharing a home together and doing our best to get along and make decisions. And the audio keeps changing in my ears. And so that brought a lot of challenges and opportunities for us to figure out how to do that. And as I was saying before, we had a process where we would meet and do our best to make decisions together, and that process developed over time, and I feel that we got better at it and we struggled at it, and there were nights where people were crying and upset and maybe didn't sleep that night, and other nights where we met and just felt so open-hearted and appreciative that we were together.
To have, like you mentioned earlier, ideas or proposals. Franny mentioned we wrote and presented at meetings. To have instilled so much thought and time into it, trying to hit it from every corner and talking to people and then bringing it to a meeting and, you know, kind of getting let down or shot down gently, usually, but not always, because things got heated, you know. Humility was such a big lesson, and strong determination and clarity, because we had to communicate through all those knots and compromise or let things go, and learning how to work together to complete our agreements and individual projects or house projects was really beautiful when it actually happened. You know, because agreements were constantly changing. Minds not necessarily made up or change as more information is revealed. And then, projects, working together, scheduling. It can all be really difficult. But the reflection and the witnessing each other through really vulnerable time, and then having the courage to talk about it every week, every Sunday
night. And it was also really good practice, because as we were doing these processes there at the Grub Cooperative, we were also, many of us were also involved in city politics and showing up at city council and, like, the Coalition of Concerned Citizens for the Preservation of the Green Line. And then when we, that was like a real thing that happened, and in town, and then even as an organ or intentional community moving towards turning some of these projects into real businesses and creating the non-profit, we created a community or a committee for a land visioning committee. Like, okay, how do we do this about money? How do we become responsible and how do we approach making an investment, and how do we protect ourselves legally from coming in and coming out? And so the overall arc of the experience for me and watching our journey is as a community, and then also acting in the bigger community and learning a lot about how, like, the world works.
So thanks, Katrina. So we have Lily calling in, and I'd also like to open a line for listeners to call in and ask any questions. So Katrina and Tim, if you don't mind, we can only have two callers on at a time. So if you don't mind getting off the call for a moment, and then if something happens and you want to share, you can call right back. But
sounds good.
Okay.
Good talking to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Lily, are you there?
She's not actually there. We needed the lines to be open in order for her to call back. So, anybody that's out there in the world that's listening and wants to give us a call, the number to get on the air is actually 895-1114. And yes, we only have the ability to have two lines at any given time, so that's why we like to keep the conversation going and have people calling back. We have two people that are calling right now, so if you want to maybe get going for a second, I'm going to answer the phone.
Great. So I was just thinking, before I came in, I was thinking of funny stories to tell, and there was one involving Tim, actually, who was just on the phone. So there's one.
Tim has the funniest stories.
Tim has great stories. This is a story about Tim. He has great stories to tell too, and I'm hoping he'll call back and tell some. But so there was one evening where I was laying in my bed, and all of a sudden I felt my bed starting to shake, and my first thought was like, what, is there an animal under my bed or something? And then I realized it was an earthquake, and so it lasted for 10 seconds, 5 seconds or so, and then the next thing I heard was somebody yelling in the other room. So I was like, what is that? And so I walked in the other room, and I saw Tim running around with only a T-shirt, pulling his shirt down over his private parts, yelling, it's an earthquake! It's an earthquake! And that was Tim's general antics at the cooperative. So let's see. So we have Susie and Lily on the line. Why don't we start with Lily? Are you there, Lily?
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Lily.
Hi, Lily.
Hi, can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome aboard the love ship.
I just want to say thank you so much for doing this. It feels so good to hear all your voices, and just really transporting me right back into our big room, into our kitchen, into, you know, out back underneath the walnut tree. And I so resonate with what we've been saying about how, you know, it was a social structure. It was like a whole family. It was a tribe of people being together, and we got so much from each other just by being around each other. And to be around you all, even though I'm down in Sacramento, and I think Katrina's in Ojai, and, you know, Tim over in Sonoma County, and you guys in the office in Chico, it feels so good to share this kind of virtual space with you. So I'm really grateful to be here. I just, in terms of a funny story, I don't have one, like, prepared and ready to whip out. I just think the daily moments were so funny. It's like, you know, you come in the kitchen and somebody might be there and they might have just, like, you know, had a really intense experience and they're, like, about to scream or cry or something, and you're there, like, you know, like Brandy said, wanted to cook an egg. And I think that was hilarious. I mean, it was just this way of living that was, like, everything all at once. And, you know, I was working in a job that, like, I was home a lot, and I was working from my computer, and there were things that I would, like, need to get on the computer and work, and it would be like I would be sitting on the computer working, and then I'd be like, oh, hold on a second, something just came up, and, like, you know, some kids just vomited and, like, it needs to be cleaned up, or, you know, like, just something crazy runs through. There was, like, a visitor coming through that, oh, I used to live here 40 years ago, and just the level of what could happen in a day was amazing, and I really do miss that, even though it really bothered me at the time. So, yeah, that's what I want to say. Thank you all.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Lily.
Loving you, Lily.
Susie, are you there?
Yeah.
Susie.
Hi, Susie.
What up?
What up?
Yo, Sheefy.
You got a story to tell?
Say what?
You got a story or some thoughts?
Well, not really a story. But one thing, okay. I haven't been listening to the whole program because I just got off of work. But one thing that I feel really impressed to share is that I think somebody already said Tim told the best stories. He's like the anecdote king, always nailed the point. One thing that he said that always struck me was that we're a loosely knit group of people who live together. And I think that that is so true. And also, I think that one of the things that we really shared was the spirit of devotion. Mm-hmm. And entering into the space of living together in community was an act of devotion to one another and to our lifestyles. And whether we loved each other in every moment or whether we had tension with someone in any given moment, we all were perpetuating one another in this really creative lifestyle way towards our dreams and pursuing our dreams, and this safety net that was built on devotion to the home and devotion to the land in whatever degree. And one of the main things that I still resonate with is being one of the farmers at Heartseed, running a business within the context of community. And that was so hard. It was so hard on all ends. And there was, you know, a lot of support for the farm, and when the Grub CSA was there, it was kind of not the same thing, but, you know, similar issues. And even despite that, even despite all the challenges, there was still encouragement towards our dreams. And that spirit of devotion really was a fire, I think, that warmed us and kept us going together as a group.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I remember I always had the sense that everyone who lived there, no matter how long, left feeling more empowered to step into the world.
And or benefit others.
Or more, yeah, more like, more of a sense of self-actualization, I guess. Like, oh yes, like I can do things in the world. Yeah, I know I felt that.
Can I share one more thing? This is a shorter thing.
Okay.
Piper, can I share our story?
Wow.
Okay, yeah?
You're breaking me. You're breaking my heart. I might cry.
So I met Piper outside dance church, and right away I was like, ooh, I like you. Come to my house. and I hosted her, and she applied to live there, and then shortly after that, we just butt heads like crazy. We did not like each other. We were, like, in and out of mediation with Jonah, and it was a constant struggle, and, like, just animosity, and it was hard. It was hard for the whole house for, like, a season.
Shortly after that, we just
We have something wrong in the studio. Sure, one moment.
And then, at the end, when we weren't sure if we were going to be able to stay there or not, I recall Piper and I sitting down and realizing that we were the only women that were choosing to stay there after all the transition. And we made a conscious effort to just cultivate strong sisterhood, strong connection. We set a precedent for the rest of the people that came in. Like, this is how women love each other here. Mm-hmm. This is how we hold each other and support each other as sisters. We don't tear each other down. We edify and we fortify everything that's going on here. And I have so much gratitude for the work and the space that we were able to hold for the whole group.
Yeah, we persisted through
some...
We persisted. Yeah, everyone was so supportive and fair. We persisted and we grew so much through it. I think everyone did. We have such a strong relationship now. Mm. You know, we get to bring that.
Yeah, you too. I mean, I was there watching the whole thing, and there was a moment where, and I mean, it wasn't you, it was part of living together. People just butted heads sometimes, but you two definitely did. And I remember
there was a mama hen ferocity that struck me.
And there was a moment where
alpha women. We were all strong alpha women. Heck yes, we were.
Requests were being made to like stay out of my space, and I only want to like have this type of conversation with you. And then now, like since Grub has ended, especially. I've just seen you guys, like, you guys seem best friends.
Totes.
And as far as I've seen, you guys guys are together
almost every
week.
We can go only as high as deep as we go, right?
And, as you want.
You know, we witnessed each other through some really wounded expressions of anger and pain and misery. So coming through the other side, and this, you know, and to all degrees, in many different ways with every person, you know, we're not ever fully in agreement. Everything can be subjective. Our moral principles differ, but we did have strong core values as a group. And Susie and I, strong alpha males, you know, we persisted in living our truth. And so we just didn't see each other's very clearly for a while because we were, you know, like our reflections were muddled. They weren't clear to receive. So it took a lot of time. But when, like Sue said, when we realized that we were holding it down, like things got real from the unreal to the real.
And I think your story again is such a great example of what was really happening amongst all of us in that community. Like we got real with each other. It wasn't the same kind of like on the surface social reactions that we have in normal life where we see people maybe once a week or we bump into people on the street. It was a lot of us living together and seeing the hard parts of life and not getting along and having emotions come and disagreements and strong feelings and I think like what's happened with the two of you in the end that really bonded us that was part of what made it feel so like a family.
Well, we made the choice to continue working through it, and like we made the choice every week to go to meetings, or made the choice to share our feelings or not share our feelings at feelings meetings, or made the choice to agree or disagree, compromise or be strong-willed, you know, or personalize. You know, we saw it all, and the choices that we made like left us still bonded so securely, creating a really strong force to take out.
Yes, definitely as an outsider viewing in. I mean, you guys were social pioneers. You were definitely learning how to make family when it's not necessarily the one you're born into.
Chosen family.
Chosen family. So I think that Lily called back. So, Lily, are you there?
Hi.
Hi. Did you have something you wanted to chime in there?
Yeah, is it a good time?
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Suze,
oh,
can you guys
bye,
hear me?
Suze. I love you. We love you,
Susie. Oh, she hung up.
Yeah, she jumped up. But Lily, please continue.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Susie and Piper. Like that, those are the kind of things that were really possible. And I forget who said it, but that place was where dreams were. They weren't necessarily born there. They were like brought out into the world in its fullness, like through all the harshness, through all the realness of the world. Is that place was a crucible to really make something real out of a dream that we had. And I know that, you know, my story of getting there was just a complete dream. I had a vision of myself living in a community and like being a light and sharing light. And I was biking around visiting farms and communities and places for about 9 months before I stumbled into Grub. And I remember in the meeting I sat in on before, when I was applying to live there, you guys were kind of asking me questions and I was answering, and then at the end you're like, well, is there anything else you want to say? And I was totally honest, and I had just realized something about myself, that I, at that point in my life, had a very low sensor for what other people were feeling or thinking, in terms of like about me. And I said that, like, if you guys have an issue with me, or if you have something that, you know, I'm doing that's bothering you, I probably won't understand it unless you actually come straight up to me and tell me. And that was so magical for me to be seen in that and still accepted into the community despite, you know, what was a kind of like a flaw that I had. But within that crucible of the community, being able to like purify myself and work on that within a real context, you know, and become a better person because of it. I think so much of who I am is because I was able to share space with you all. Mm. And that really, like, it hit me like a year after living there. I was walking in the cornfield and I felt this sensation of all my dreams being real and present. And it was just like, oh, I had a vision of what I wanted for my life, and that is what my life is right now. And I had never experienced that kind of magic before. And I continue to work with that energy, and it really, the experience of it is because of Grub. Mm-hmm. And it continues to this day, you know, and it's something that we were able to tap into, and it's just the truth of what life can be like. And we all said yes to that, and that's why it happened. And so I'm excited to see, you know, it being shared here and for these stories to percolate the airwaves and people's consciousnesses, and so that way this can become just easier. Like, it doesn't have to be this one bubble and this one vortex and this one community, but it really becomes a shared reality for people on Earth.
Yes. So I'd like to clarify one thing. So the listeners know, we keep using the word grub by itself, but grub is actually a lot of things, and not all aspects of grub have ended. We've been talking about the Grub Cooperative, which was an intentional community on 1525 Dayton Road. There is also the Grub CSA, which Francine is a part of, who was here in the beginning. And that is still happening, and they have they offer CSA shares, and they sell at the farmers market, I think the Saturday and the Thursday farmers market. So they're still thriving and well. There's also the Grub Education Program, which offers workshops and support for community gardens, and the Grub Education Program is still thriving and doing well as well. So just to clarify, not all aspects of Grub are over, but this community living that we've been discussing has.
Lives on in our hearts, of course.
And I also want to say that Susie McAllister, who called in earlier, texted me and told me to say that we experienced accelerated evolution living there. So those are her words, and I totally agree.
Yeah.
So we only have a few more minutes. So if there's anyone else who wants to call in real quick and share a story, or a listener who would like to call in and ask a quick question.
Or share a story, too. If you were ever at the Grub at a show or a workshop and you have a story to share, please share it.
We want more, and we have 5 minutes.
Yeah, a few minutes and counting here. 895-1114 is the number to call. I'm trying to recollect, like, what would be the story that I would tell from Grub. I don't know. There's lots of different times that I spent there at Grub, like as a community member coming to witness the social experiment, which was Grub. And I guess one that comes, like, I guess I always say when I ask questions, like, what's the first story that comes to mind, and tell that story, because it's kind of what you're, what sums up your experience. And one of the stories, the first one that comes to mind, and is actually preventing any other stories coming to mind at this moment, is a story of a dance party that happened at Grub that I was a part of organizing back when I was with the Peace Center. And I think it was a summer solstice dance party that Earth Ashanti, with the that helped organize Earth Dance, helped to put on. And it was just such a great example of what this community had to offer in terms of bringing people together. Not only was, you know, the social experiment of Grub, people like creating this amazing, beautiful space of people that were willing to go through the trials and tribulations of what it is to be human in close proximity, but also opening their home to community and allowing, you know, hundreds of people to utilize that space in enjoyment and pleasure and excitement, and help raise funds for really really worthy causes such as Earth Dance. And so just how many times, like, that's just one example that I can think of, going there in a summer evening, beautiful night out, the air is so perfect, being out, you know, in the edge of town near the orchards, dancing till I could hardly breathe, and it's just super hot in there, and everybody just laughing and smiling, and going outside to take, you know, fresh breaths of air, and just being really surrounded by so much community that was brought together by this cooperative in particular. So that's something that, you know, I will treasure, and I will remember, and, you know, look forward to more of that happening, because it was such a hub for so long. So not only for those, you know, amazing dance parties and bands that they brought to town, and the Chico Bike Music Festival that was born there and had a spot there for a while, but also workshops and classes and groups, and just how much it was a community hub for the you know, since its inception, really, and how it just sort of opened itself to that. It's something that we we'll wait for it to happen again here in this community. So we do have a call, which I'm going to try to answer here in a second.
Great. Close proximity. It was funny thing she said, Tamara. I live closer to my neighbors in town, in College Town right now, than I lived with people at Grub, but it was really just a more intimate,
I guess, from an outsider's perspective, yeah. It seemed like close proximity. And I mean,
it is in a different way.
Yes. And some of the stories that were shared in terms of, like, the emotional processing, and just, like, the processing about projects and ideas. Like, I can't say that I frequently do that with my neighbors, and maybe more so with my roommates. Right. But, I mean, there's lots of times that people don't do that, you know?
It's not intentional. Yeah.
It's not intentional, yes. Well said. So I'm sorry I wasn't able to get that last caller on. This was a really beautiful show to be a part of. Thank you so much for organizing it, Jonah. It was so awesome to have so many voices from the Grub Cooperative on.
Yeah, I'm so grateful everyone called. And for all of the people that I met through Grub, the volunteers, the interns, you know, all my friends that got to sleep out there, I praise that land and all that comes from it forevermore, right?
Forevermore.
Yes, I'm so glad we were able to do this, and so many of you called in and came into the studio and mm-hmm. and joined me for this.
And, yeah, and I want to live in another intentional community. So,
so if you're interested, call Piper.
Find land,
start one, and listen to the story of inspiration, how, you know, sometimes a lot of us are prevented by doing things because we feel like we have to have a really solid plan to start it.
But I don't think I do. I'm really good at that whole flow thing.
Absolutely. So it can be creative. It can just be a good idea that, you know, ends up lasting a whole lot longer than a year or two. So thank you so much for joining us. We're going to get ready for Ecotopia up next, hosted tonight by Chris Nelson. Ecotopia is on every Tuesday from 6 to 7. They discuss environmental issues with nationally renowned authors and activists. EcoTalk, it's your local link to a global network of folks who know and care about the health of our planet. Also wanting to let you all know that for registration, if you're out there and you're planning to vote, your deadline to be a part of the primaries is May 23rd. Yes, May 23rd. That's rapidly approaching. So, yeah, be a part of that, of the change that's going to happen here in 2016, and get yourself registered to vote. Thanks for listening. We will be back with you next Tuesday.
Love you all.
Love you.
Bye.
Thank you for coming. Creek Village. Creek Village. Creek Village is awesome. Yes. Yes. I know, I'm kidding.
Can I see it? Earth Mother, I hear you calling. Earth Mother, I hear you.
Oh, no.
right. It is 6:01. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. My name is Chris. I'm filling in tonight for Steve and Susan, and this is Ecotopia. And Ecotopia is made possible by generous contributions of all you KZFR supporters. We really appreciate your support in the last pledge drive. And also by Bruce Jenkins Insurance and Financial Services. Bruce specializes in life and health insurance, long-term care, and annuities. For answers